Thank you. Eventually, the second reading can be found on page 1103, and it's chapter 9, starting at verse 32. Aeneas and Dorcas. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them, alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I hope you've kept your Bibles open, but if you haven't, it's on page 1103. But before we start, and before I start the sermon, just some things that came to mind as we've just sat through part of our service this morning. Dave said, "We can do nothing without God's help." Very true. In the Lord's Prayer, we thanked God for his kingdom, for his power, and for his glory. In one of our songs, we talked about God having known every lightning bolt and how heavenly storehouses laden with snow and how God imagined the sun. And we heard in that first reading two words, just believe. This morning, I want to talk about all the things that are possible with God. But before we do that, let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this, your word. We ask now that you will help us to see you through it, that you will speak to each one of us, and that our hearts will absorb it and will come to know you more. Because we ask this in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. God has given us his word. And he gave it to us so that we can know his mighty works and deeds in history. Beginning in Genesis, where we read about the work of God in creation, right through to the New Testament, the Gospels, where we see those mighty works, Jesus healing the sick, making the blind see, the deaf to hear. And this morning we've heard of the raising of the dead daughter of Jairus. And just in case you've forgotten, there's one greatest work of all, and that's Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which is a guarantee for our life, everlasting life. Now, in the book of Acts, we have this past few weeks been witnesses to God's hand yet again, this time through his apostles, who we know are performing many miracles, signs, and wonders. God has been doing the impossible for a long time, and I believe he's still doing it today. Yet our tendency is to think that things will never change, but will remain the same forever. And we need to admit that we think like this from time to time. In fact, I think we often believe that situations will merely go from bad to worse. John Piper wrote these words, "But one of the messages of the book of Acts is that this is emphatically not true. Jesus Christ is not dead, and he is not distant, and he is not silent. And he is not weak, and he is not uninterested in the world and the progress of his mission or in your life. He is alive, and what he began to do in his earthly life, he is continuing to do today. He is full of surprises for churches, for nations, for families, and for individuals. God is in the business of turning things and people around. And the exciting thing about all of this is that he uses all kinds of people to minister these great feats. God didn't leave us here so that we might satisfy, pamper, or indulge ourselves. No, we're here to help others. And so what are we going to do to help others?" The message from our passage today is perhaps this: God is doing the impossible through his people, demonstrating his power, his love, his trust in his people. But we have a job to do. Like these apostles in Acts, we're expected to step out in faith. Step out, spreading his word to others. That's why he gave us his word. Our text today describes two miracles. Peter heals a paralyzed man, and then he brings a woman back from the dead. These are a demonstration of God's power over restoration and resurrection. The scene in Acts has shifted from the life of Saul to the life of Peter. The last time we saw Peter in action, it was back in chapter 8. And we are told that he and John went to Samaria to help Philip. As a result of their teaching and preaching, verse 25, when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Peter was a hands-on minister. He didn't sit by idly waiting to get involved. And whilst Luke has been busy telling us all about Saul, Peter had been preaching God's word of Jesus Christ. Luke tells us Peter travelled about the country. He went to visit the saints or believers in Lydda. Lydda is the Old Testament town of Lod. It's about 10 miles southeast. It's a coastal city to the coastal city of Joppa. That is where we learn at the end that Peter goes next. Joppa was a large market town, and it was famous for raising cattle, flourishing textile industries, dyeing, pottery. So it was a busy town. But it was also the seat of the Sanhedrin, and that was a place where the Talmudic scholars taught. So then we can see how it was bustling. It was a flourishing community. And Peter was ministering there to its Christians. Today, Joppa is the location for Israel's international airport. In this city lives a man by the name of Aeneas. He's paralyzed, he's bedridden, as we're told, for 8 years. Probably he would remain in that condition for the rest of his life. In other words, he was beyond the help of the medical knowledge of that day. Most likely, although we cannot be certain, this man was an unbeliever. And I say that because in the next verses, Luke describes the woman named Dorcas, also known as Tabitha, as a disciple. But he doesn't make that same claim for Aeneas. Either way, God had a purpose for Aeneas' illness and his healing. Today, we can often hear of preachers who perform healings in auditoriums where there are large crowds. But here, in this story, Peter goes to the home of this man in order to minister to his needs. Peter wasn't in gospel ministry for himself, but for the glory of God. In verse 34, we know that Peter turns round to Aeneas and he says, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy up your mat." Peter performs this miracle in the name of Christ. He knew only Christ could heal. Peter isn't in this business to seek fame or fortune. He's in it to minister to the word of and the glory of Christ. The writer William Barclay wrote these words: "We think too much of what we can do and too little of what Christ can do through us." But you must admit, this is some miracle. A man clearly unable to walk, get up of his own accord, is now healed. And that's quite a demonstration of power. And as a result, we are told that many are led to conversion. Those words in verse 35, "All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." They turned to the Lord. This was more than just a change of mind. For these people, this is a complete change of direction. Conversion is more than moving from one belief and behavior to another. It's a whole new and different form of commitment. This is the power of God's miracle over restoration. Next, we see what happens when we make ourselves available to do God's work. In verse 36, we're introduced to a lady by the name of Tabitha, who we also know in Greek is called Dorcas. Her name means gazelle or graceful creature. Luke tells us that she's a disciple, always doing good and helping the poor. We know that Tabitha has made herself available for God's kingdom work. We learn how she becomes ill and then dies, and that the people of Joppa, the widows, prepare her for burial by washing her body. But instead of burying her, as was their custom, they laid her in an upper room. Maybe they had something else in their mind. Well, clearly they did, because as Luke tells us, in the next verse, they had heard of Peter. Peter had been in Lydda. Lydda is about 10 miles from Joppa, and they'd probably heard about the miracle that he just performed on Aeneas, and also how people had come to know Christ as a result of that miracle. So in turn, they send for Peter, begging him to come immediately to Joppa, and Peter goes. And when he arrives, he's taken to that upper room where Tabitha now lies. Their widows show Peter the kind of deeds and acts that Tabitha did among them while she lived. But Peter turns and he ushers them out. He shuts the door. And then he kneels beside Tabitha's bed to pray. It's clear that Peter knows where his source of power comes from. And he did not presume on his own strength to perform this miracle. Prayer is very much the key to any successful ministry in our work for God. In fact, it's essential. It recognizes our dependence on Him. We need to remember this and to make prayer a priority in our own lives. Prayer is speaking to God about things we cannot change, but He can. So we need to pray for growth, for grace, because only God has the ability to help us. To pray for those loved ones who are lost, because only God has the power to save them. To pray for those circumstances that seem impossible, like a wayward child, or a rocky marriage or partnership, or a work or a home situation, perhaps even unemployment. Because it is God, and only God, who has the ability to change things. So Peter prayed, and after praying, he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. In verse 41, Luke says that Peter presented her, Tabitha, to the believers and widows. In other words, Peter was demonstrating that it was God who had performed this miracle, not for the benefit of Dorcas or the people who saw her, but for the people of Joppa. And we see again how God was using Peter's ministry to spread his word. In verse 42, he says, "Many believed in the Lord." Luke records these works of God repeatedly through the book of Acts. Pentecost, the lame beggar, these miracles, and much more. And each time we are told how people came to believe in Christ. The work in ministry that we do here in White Waltham could be the vehicle for God to use in bringing someone, or indeed many, into his kingdom. So don't determine in your own mind how effective you are, but believe how effective God can be through you. Can I remind you that the power of the gospel doesn't rest in the eloquence of the person presenting it? Spurgeon said this: "We might preach till our tongues rot, till we exhaust our lungs and die, and never a soul will be saved unless there is the power of God moving in." God was preparing the church of that time to be the witness to the world. The gospel has been preached in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and now it was going to be preached to the ends of the earth. He was effecting his plan to transition the church out into the world, to places and to people who were yet to hear the gospel. The final verse of this passage might seem odd. It reads, Peter stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, the tanner. It doesn't sound like it's very important information, but believe me, it speaks volumes. You see, God was very much in the business of breaking down the walls of prejudice, not just in the life of the apostles, which only consisted of Jews, because we know Jews despise Gentiles, but God's plan was to include those very Gentiles in his kingdom. By noting that Luke was ceremonially unclean because they were constantly in contact with animals, and in fact had to live at least. So God was preparing Peter for what Peter was about to do next. That is, sharing the good news with a man called Cornelius, a Gentile. Prejudice can devastate a church and its ministry. The sign of a maturing Christian is that their prejudices are dying. But we don't need to worry or think about what people look like, what their color of the skin, what their ethnicity, or anything else. What we need to remember is that they, like us, were created in the image of God. And as such, they too need to hear about his son, Jesus Christ, his love for them, how he died that they might be forgiven, and then how they too might receive that precious gift of all, everlasting life in God's kingdom. It's important to be reminded through passages like we've seen this morning that all things are possible because everything is in God's plan. And we are part of that plan because our job, just like those apostles, is to step out in faith so that others will learn about Jesus Christ. That's the real message of this passage. I'm going to finish with the words of a chorus which struck me as something we need to believe. The words are these: For I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise, who will move through this land by my Spirit and will glorify my precious name. Thank you, Jesus. We needed to hear those words this morning. Amen.